The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like to start this message with the very first recorded in writing, the very first recorded words of the great God. And most of you know them. I'm sure everybody sitting in this room knows them. But have you ever thought of it that way? That in Genesis 1, verse 3, the very first words of God that were recorded for mankind were, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, that's an incredible concept when we understand the totality of the world that we live in. I know that when I walk into a room, I don't have to say, "Let there be light." I flick a switch, and the lights come on. But God, through his great mercy and great power, said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You see, God does not do anything rashly or capriciously. He's not quick to judge. He's not quick to do. He has plans. He has a plan of salvation that goes beyond human reasoning, beyond human understanding. And as man explores the vast universe, it's incredible when you think about it, that the space, we find great, great magnitude of planets and great, it's hard to put them into words, the planets, the cosmos, the tremendous creation that God has made. And as we study the scriptures, we learn that he's made it for mankind. He's made it for us. It says in verse 4, "And God saw the light, that it was good." And if you've ever stubbed your toe, as you get up in the middle of the night and walk across, light is good. Light is good. Light protects us from ourselves sometimes. It protects us from the clumsiness that comes with advancing age, I'll put it that way. You see, when God, he planned what he was going to do, he divided the light from the darkness. He separated them. And you think about it, you can never have light and darkness at the same time, in the same place. You can have light here and darkness here. But light and darkness cannot coexist. They are mutually exclusive. When you have one, the other is not possible. When you have the other, number one is not possible. Light or dark, that's the way it's created. That's the way God has established it. You know, spiritual light is under continuous attack by Satan and his teachers. And he has some very intelligent, very attractive, very handsome teachers teaching error. Physical light and spiritual light are totally different. Physical light can exist in spiritual darkness, if you think about it. It may not last long before the darkness overtakes it. But spiritual light can exist in physical darkness. And that's the job of the church, to be a physical light to the world. In John 1, verses 1 through 4, John makes this, in what is called in some circles, as the last gospel. It said, "In the beginning was the Word," in verse 1, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And there's a plethora of sermons in that very understanding of that very first verse of that scripture. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. You see, it says in verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." What is he talking about? How is it possible that this could, that light that the Word can exist like that in God's realm. He says in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. And he's talking about the Word, the one that this chapter and the first chapter of Hebrews shows us refers to Jesus of Nazareth, that he is the Word of God. So we, if we understand it correctly, see that God sent his Son, Jesus, the creator of this wonderful world that we live in, and he sent him to redeem the human family. It says in verse 4, in him, in this Word, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. And when Jesus of Nazareth came to this world, his message was beyond human comprehension. People who had studied the scriptures all of their lives suddenly were faced with an enigma. They were suddenly faced with the truth that went beyond human reasoning. In verse 5 of John 1, he says this, and this bears out what I said earlier about spiritual light can exist in physical darkness. He says, and the light shines in darkness. And the darkness, it uses a term, comprehended it not. It couldn't get it. It couldn't grasp it. It couldn't understand this light in terms of the world that they were living in. Darkness could not be comprehended by humanity. As we look at these words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John, we see that there is a great history of the creation included in these verses. The majority of our most popular translations use the word comprehend, which John, King James Version, and I use King James Version throughout, except occasionally I will use another, and I always try to introduce the name of the other translation. But you see, the truth that Jesus brought to the world and human carnal mindset, they couldn't be grasped by the human mind. The human mind is carnal. We look at things physically. We see things physically. We experience things physically. It takes the Holy Spirit of God acting in our minds and in our hearts to give us the understanding of the things that the scriptures so clearly say. Some few believe but the majority have repeated and rejected Jesus. Some few believe, the majority rejects Jesus of Nazareth. And when we look around the world, and we say, well, that's not possible. Look at all these, and I'll put it in quotes, finger quotes, supposed Christians who believe in a Jesus but don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They've been misled. And that's tragic, that when you're a young person and they may send you to a religious school and you may learn things from the Bible that... Jesus loved me, yes, I know, because the Bible tells me so. And that's true. But then they go on to twist the words of Jesus and the actions of Jesus and to make them something that they were not. In Matthew 5, verse 14, it continues the concept of Jesus being the light. He says, you... This is Jesus speaking now. He says this to his church. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Have you ever been in a city set on a hill? Denver's a good example. It's called the Mile High City. And regardless of the direction you come to this city, east, south, north, west, you see the lights of this city. You can't hide the light of a city set on a hill. And yet Jesus is using the spiritual understanding for us that we need to be a city that sets on a hill. He says in verse 6, continuing in John 1, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And of course, he's speaking here of John the Baptist. He says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. And he did his job. He introduced Jesus to the world as the Savior. And we can read about that in the book of Matthew. But he continues in Matthew 6, verse 16 through 6, talking about light, about, and you can apply this to a city set on a hill, but he takes it down to the personal level. And this is going to get a little tight, because he says, you are the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world? We're trying to be a city set on a hill. But Matthew 6:16, he says, men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. And sometimes that occurs within the church of God, if we're not careful, that we light a candle and we hide it from society. But you put it on a candlestick, he says, continuing in verse 15. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Excuse me while I get a little moisture here. The weatherman says we're going to get a lot of moisture this afternoon and evening. So let us be careful as we leave here today. But continuing in the concept of our lives being lights to the world, letting our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Sometimes even within the Church of God, the tendency sometimes is to gravitate toward a watering down of Jesus' teachings. And Jesus' teachings were not meant to be messed with, brethren. They were meant to teach us so that we can do the things that he asked for us to do. On the other hand, the teachings sometimes gravitate towards demagoguery. And that's, Jesus of Nazareth was not a demagogue. He worked in love. He taught in love. He spoke in love. He acted and behaved as a loving, kind, merciful Savior. And that's the challenge that comes to us as we proceed through life as Christians, having been baptized, receiving God's Spirit, taking Christ into our lives, and bringing Christ to the world. That's our job. We are to bring this light of Christ to the world. And sometimes we've done it quite magnificently by human terms. And other times we have fallen short. And this is certainly not to condemn or criticize anybody, because we all come short in our lives. We all have sinned, it says, and come short of the glory of God. So if we're going to compare ourselves, let's not compare ourselves with this large group or that large group. Let's compare ourselves with the Son of God, and every human being comes up short, don't we? Every one of us comes up short in that category. But continuing back to the book of John, and by the way, if you like to have titles for these messages, the title of this message is Light versus Darkness. And that's easy enough to remember, I think. Because if we are to be the light of the world, we have to go into the darkness to light the world. my wife chides me quite a bit sometimes. I'll go out and I'll leave the outside house light on. And we won't know that it's on until we're driving away and say, oh, look, we left the light on. All right, we'll get it. We come back. Because when it's light and you're in the light, the light is not easily visible. If you go out of that out the door in the dark, the light, even though it's only a 50 or 60 watt bulb, it illuminates the area quite nicely. You can get a lot of visibility out of one small, insecure light bulb. Insecure in the sense that if it gets wet while it's hot, it's going to explode. But you and I have this job to be a light to the world. And I'm the first one to admit it's not an easy task. And then Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I, Jesus, parenthetically, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we live our lives according to the teachings and instructions and the guidance of Jesus of Nazareth, and if we allow the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ to work in us, to guide us in the way that we should go, we will be that light to the world that he expects us to be. There is a true light, and there's a false light. And we have to be very careful when we decide to follow a man or a group of men. It happens so often in this world. Occasionally, as I'm doing some channel surfing at night, you know, I'll get this large arena with thousands and thousands of people who are out there listening to this evangelist or that preacher or whatever. They are being a light to their individual groups. But if you take the time, and I very seldom do, but if you take the time to listen to what they're saying, they're not preaching God's law. They don't teach God's law. They don't teach the light that God gave to mankind. They teach the teacher, and that's the regrettable part of what they do. You see, there is a true light and a false light, and we have to be careful that we're following the true light and not the false light. There's in verse 11. I'm sorry, moving on to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Verses 3 through 6. He says this in verse 3. He says, but if our gospel, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, a church filled with, or surrounded by, I should say, corruption of the world. The people of Corinth were almost a terrible, terrible reference to the debauchery and the lifestyles that the people of Corinth lived. And yet when Paul brought the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth and the love of Christ to them, a number decided they wanted to leave the evil of their previous ways and turn to Jesus. And that's great. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. Those who are unable to understand. Those who don't get that little spark of understanding from God's Spirit to open their minds so they can see and understand the truth. It's so easy to fall back on the things we're taught as a child. Never understanding the fact that some of the things we were taught were total error. And it's difficult to do. When God opens our minds and we start to see, you know, it's not the way I thought it was. When the light of Christ begins to shine in our lives, it's difficult sometimes for those who are our friends or our relatives in the world to grasp that. He says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in whom, he's talking about the gospel that was hid from those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Those who don't believe in the truth of God have been blinded. And from our understanding of the scriptures, if their minds aren't open to the truth of God in this life, that there will be a resurrection of the dead that will allow them to learn the truth of God and then make a choice, an intelligent choice, follow God or follow Satan. And when God has a plan, his plan never fails. His plan is going to succeed because mankind is going to go through a series of trials and tribulations. If we think it was bad down in Puerto Rico when the hurricane went through a month or so ago, 6-8 weeks ago now, we haven't seen anything yet. We're still in relative comfort. You know, our electricity went out for a day and a half. No air conditioning. It was terrible. You know, we are so spoiled by the comforts of this world. And yet some of them have not had lights in their home in 12 weeks, 12 weeks. That's a trial and a tribulation that goes beyond our experience, thankfully. He says, continuing in that verse, is for whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're in the dark physically. And perhaps while they're in the dark physically, God will choose to open some minds spiritually. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves. He was not a preacher who went out and talked about himself, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. And so many want to be the leader and so few want to be the servant. Being the servant is the job of a spiritual leader, to serve those that God calls to his truth. He says in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, and it's interesting that Paul goes back to the very beginning when God said, let there be light, and that light shone in the darkness, and it overcame the darkness that was in this world. He says, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. What an incredible, incredible experience that we have an opportunity to be a part of, to help to bring the light of Christ to the world. And frankly, most of the world, the whole world needs it, and most of the world doesn't want it because they're so happy with the life that they lead. They can do the things they want to do with no thought for the generations that follow them. And if we see trouble in the world today, you know, there's an old saying, if you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Well, we're sowing our seed in our children, our young people, and we're going to reap havoc in the future unless we change. Continuing in the book of John, but moving to John chapter 9. You see, Paul frequently goes back to the beginning in his teaching, and John had that same motivation. He was the one that said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In John 9, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus had a job to do. He had works he had to perform. He said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is the night, while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. If you've ever tried to do a job in the darkness, you wish you had a flashlight. It doesn't take a lot of light to help fix a problem mechanically. He said in verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the only way that the darkness of this world can be overcome is through the light of Jesus Christ reflected in our lives. Remember Peter, James, and John? They were with Jesus. And when Jesus was transfigured, and it's recorded in Matthew 17, verse 1 through 7. And Jesus was revealed in all of his glory with Moses, with Elijah. And the apostles did what they knew the Feast of Tabernacles meant. They said, do you want us to build three tabernacles? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Because the Feast of Tabernacles, as we are blessed to understand, and as the words of the scripture reflect very clearly, this is where God's kingdom is going to be established for mankind into the future. He said he was, as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. And as long as he is in the light, and as he is in us, then we become his light to the world. John 3, verses 18 through 21. Excuse me. He says, he that believes on him is not condemned. To believe on Christ, the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, we are not condemned. But he that believes not, well, that's a different story, isn't it? He is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you and I are blessed that we've been called out of the darkness of the world into a little bit of the light. That a little bit of light, like that flashlight that helps us to do a job, or a candelabra that lights an entire room. The light overcomes the darkness if we will let it. He says in verse 19, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see how the young people of the world are being seduced through Satan's life, his inspiration into the world and its attitudes. Who would have ever thought 25, 30, 35 years ago that there would be a Halloween massacre night? That we have. It's in Disney. It's in Universal. It's in all of the marvelous places that we like to bring our children. And it's turned into a pagan festival that sows evil in the world and not good. He says, for everyone that does hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, lest his life should be ignited. He said, but he that does, in verse 21, that does truth, comes to the light, that the deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. If our lives manifest the work of God, in this city, in this town, in this state, in this country, it exposes Satan's way as darkness and that God's way is the way of light. And the apostles had to deal with this in a much greater way than you and I. I mean, we are in a nation that believes in the Christ that they know, the Jesus that they know. Even though it may be the wrong Christ, even though it's a Christ that does not exist, that never existed, at least when we say that we are Christian, they have a point of identity that they can identify with. You see, they have false teachers. They have false apostles. They have false brothers and sisters. But you and I, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who've committed our lives to serving one another. To serving one another. We couldn't do what we do to put this broadcast out over the airwaves and over the internet without men and women who devote their lives to helping to get this work done. In 2 Corinthians verse 11, 13 through 16, speaking again about these false apostles. He says, for such are false apostles. And we are preaching a word that has the word of truth. Deceitful workers, translating themselves into the apostles of Christ. So if no other scripture resonates with them, this scripture shows very clearly that there are false apostles, there are false teachers, and there are true. There's a false Jesus, and there's the true Jesus. In verse 14, he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is translated into an angel of light. Think about that. Satan transferred into an angel of light. How could such a thing happen? Well, when you get away from the true God, when you get away from the God of the Bible, error creeps into the things that we say and the things that we do. And hopefully, you and I have been in the church sometimes 5, 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We've come so far out of the world that we're virtually unscathed by the world. Unless we happen to go to a movie or watch a television show and we bring it right into our lives. It comes into our minds, comes into our hearts, that we have to fight to keep it out. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also are transformed into the ministers of righteousness. This is the Apostle Paul writing. This is before 70 AD. This is before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed and before Jerusalem was destroyed. This was a long time ago. And there were false Christs then. Do you think Satan has given up? No, he just changed hats. He made himself into a church that reflected light instead of darkness. He says continuing verse 15, he says, whose end shall be according to their works. The works that they do are the works that are going to affect their lives in the future. He says in verse 16, I say again, let no man think of me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. And Paul does. He taught in humility, in love, in giving, in serving. He traveled the known world at that time to bring the truth and the light of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to the world. And he has no idea. He died, he went to the grave not knowing that in the 21st century there would be people reading his words about Jesus of Nazareth in such a way that they could understand. Because Jesus of Nazareth is the leader of his people. He's God's servant on this earth. Paul had been beaten, he'd been robbed, he'd been shipwrecked a few times. He had a very difficult life to do the work that Christ gave him to do. And he never shirked it. He never pulled back. He kept going forward. Sometimes you take two steps forward and one step back, but he kept going. He kept going. In Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13, again the Apostle Paul, speaking to another Gentile church in Colossae, a church that you know, they had some real problems they had to fight their way out of. And yet this letter shows his love and his kindness and his concern against the evil darkness of the world. He says, giving thanks in Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. And he recognized that all of his blessings came from the Father through Christ. He says, unto the Father, which has made us meet, not meet in the physical food sense, made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints of God, the church of God, is supposed to be a church of light. And in verse 13, it says, who has delivered us from the darkness, from the power of darkness, and has translated, or the New King James uses the term, conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, the Gentile areas of the world were open to pagan love to the core. Ephesus, Corinth, and other areas of the Caribbean were founded, I said the Caribbean, around the Mediterranean is what I meant. Those around the Mediterranean, they were led into perversity by the Roman government and later by the church that came out of there. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 6 through 14, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And who are the children of disobedience? Fair question. Those who won't obey. Those who refuse to obey God and his laws. Those who take the laws of God and say, oh, that's done away. You don't have to do this. You don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. We're going to keep Sunday. We're not going to keep Passover anymore. That's Jewish. We're going to keep Easter and the resurrection of Jesus. And yet, when you stop and count the 3 days and three nights that Christ said he was going to be in the earth, you can't get Friday to Sunday. I'm sorry. It just doesn't fit. But that, nevertheless, truth is not always easily available. He says in verse 6 again, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things come, the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. For the things that they've been mistaught, wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not you therefore partakers with them. Don't be a part of the world, brethren. And it's not an easy task. It's so easy to say those words, but it's so difficult to live by them, because we're immersed in the world every day, and it's so difficult to keep the world out of our lives. But we don't want to share their punishment. And their punishment goes beyond just physical death. The trials and tribulations that they're going to have to go through are incredible. He says in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. They were darkness. The Ephesians were darkness. The teachings of the church in Ephesus brought a little bit of light. He says, but now that they've had the gospel preached to them, but now are you the light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And that's our responsibility, to walk and live our lives as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we prove what is acceptable to God? Well, here's where we start, and here's where we finish. What is acceptable to God is in this book that the world scoffs at. More and more, it's being scoffed at. More and more, it's being rejected, because they're Jewish fables they've been led to believe. Brethren, our fight is not a physical fight. Our fight is a spiritual fight. We are not fighting physical darkness. I mean, that's easy to fight. You know, flick the light on. Ah, let there be light. And I say that not disrespectfully. We can make light by flicking a switch. Well, we don't. Us and the General Electric company that delivers it to our front door and charges us a modern price every day. But that's another story. We are to be the light of the world. Not us in ourselves, but Jesus Christ living in us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and him living in us needs to be reflected to the world in everything that we say and everything that we do. Brethren, it's not an easy task. I wish it were. But as we go forward, as we We're sometimes in darkness, but we now are light in the Lord as the children of light. In verse 9, continuing in Ephesians 5, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Spirit of God that lives in us must be bearing fruit. We must help Christ to create fruit in our lives so that we can do the things that he wants us to do. Verse 10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't let the darkness begin to overcome our light. And it's so easy to be seduced by the world. It's so easy. Everything looks like fun and games and marvel. Isn't that great? But what does it work in their lives? Do you see a lot of happiness in the world today? I sure don't. I see a little bit. In our community, we have a lot of people who are senile. And, you know, they're happy all the time. But it's not the kind of happiness that you and I want, brethren. We want happiness. We want joy in the law. We want joy in the world. We want joy in our lives with Christ leading us and guiding us. Verse 12 of Ephesians 5, continuing. Was it 5? Yeah, Ephesians 5. He says this, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame if we allow these thoughts and these actions to come into our mind and to speak of them, even though they are happened in secret. He says, but all things in verse 13 are reproved, are made manifest. And what is a manifest? I may have asked this question here before. What is a manifest? If you ship something, you ship goods, either by rail, by boat, by Google, I don't know who else. There's a manifest that goes along. And it tells you, this is what's in here. This is what it's all about. And if your credit card is cleared, you get your goods. Or the person you had them sent to get the goods. See, our work is manifest. It's right out there in front, that we're not trying to get followers for ourselves, that we're out there to preach the Word of God, to do the Word of God in honor and glory. His honor, his glory, not in our own. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13. I will quote, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can't do a thing. We can't do anything of ourselves. Everything that we can do comes through the power of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God dwelling in us. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan's a wily old guy. I say he's a guy, you know, thing. He's wily. He's sneaky. And we have to be careful of his wiles. He says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Have your head protected, filled with the truth of God, with the Word of God. Have your heart and your body protected. Have the sword of God's word in your hand, because that's the only way we can produce the reflection of Jesus Christ as the light in our lives. Finally, brethren, let's look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. He says that knowing the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. And the church, the world, has been asleep to Satan and his wiles. The things that are happening in this world couldn't, it's impossible for them to happen unless the world had been lulled into a sense of security. They're blinded. The world is blinded by the things that are going on around it. And knowing the time, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In verse 12, for the night is spent, it's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us allow the light of God's Holy Spirit to work through us, to do his service, the service of Jesus Christ, and no others. Verse 13, he says, let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, not from running from house to house, wantonness, not in strife of envying. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Easier said than done, isn't it? Yet, with God's Holy Spirit in us, with God's Holy Spirit leading us, with the light of Jesus Christ reflecting through our lives, we can accomplish everything that the Father puts in front of us and everything that Christ wants us to do. And let's be ready for the fight.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.